Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. It's Eddie Trunk, and it's time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday via PodcastOne.com and iTunes. Have you checked out the new Podcast One app yet? What are you waiting for? It is awesome. Be sure to have a look at it. It is so cool. Some of the things that you can do with the all-new Podcast One app, be sure to download it. Be sure to have it on your device. You can listen to the Eddie Trunk Podcast, many other podcasts as well. You can get it in the App Store or Google Play, free, of course. Find out everything about all your favorite shows, all your favorite podcasts, special content, video. It's so cool, so much to do. Be sure to check it out. It is the all-new Podcast One app. Like I said, grab it now free. Get it on your device via the App Store or, of course, Google Play. So here we go. With another week of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, a big week for me. The day you are hearing this, if you're listening to it on post day Thursday, I am in Sturgis, South Dakota, where I am shooting the first episode of what will be a brand new TV series that I'll be hosting. Hate to be cryptic about it because it has not been officially announced, but it is officially a go. And I am shooting that in Sturgis as we speak. I've not been to Sturgis for almost 10 years. The last time I was in Sturgis was 10 years ago for the same reason, to shoot a TV special from there for VH1 Classic at the time. This time around, very excited to have a new TV series coming that's going to be covering music festivals all around the country and will be premiering. You'll be able to watch it starting early next year. I'll give you more details about all of it when we get a little bit closer, but it's cool to have this new project on the TV side to dig into. And from there, I go over to Northern California, Oakdale to be exact. I'll be hosting a festival this weekend, the Sierra View Music Festival, happening in Oakdale, California, featuring Queensryche, Warrant, and many more. Hope to see you there if you are in Northern California this coming Saturday. Then I fly home Sunday. My live radio shows, of course, each and every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday night of next week, I fly to Houston. If you're in the Houston area, come and see me on the 17th and 18th, Thursday and Friday. I will be at the House of Blues in Houston, live from the restaurant there, 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time, doing my daily show on Sirius XM Volume 106. And you can come and hang out and say hello if you want. If you're in the area, again, next Thursday and Friday, live from 1 to 3 local time in Houston, from the House of Blues in Houston, doing Trunk Nation on Volume. Hope you can drop by and say hello. And then that Friday night, I'll be at a place called Tumbleweed, Texas, in Houston, where I will be hosting an evening with Stephen Piercy, as well as the Bullet Boys. As usual, all information about all of my events and appearances are on the homepage of eddietrunk.com, and be sure to follow on Twitter as well, at Eddie Trunk, Instagram, Facebook, also at Eddie Trunk. So much going on, so much to cover. We talk about it, and I talk about it each and every day with you guys on my show on Volume. Hope you join me on Sirius XM channel 106, where you can hear me live each and every day from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, replays every night 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern also on demand on the SiriusXM app. Many of the interviews you hear right here on the Eddie Trunk podcast originated on the SiriusXM volume show. So get SiriusXM if you don't have it already. And if you do, be sure to listen to my show on volume, channel 106. And you'll get all this stuff live and be able to interact with the artists as well. So a lot of stuff, like I said, going on. Some things I can fill you in on. Some things I can't just yet. But rest assured, it's all good stuff. I also want to take a quick second to thank each and every one of you who sent me birthday wishes this past Tuesday, the 8th of August. I did celebrate my 53rd birthday. Thank you for all the amazing love and support. It is greatly appreciated and great to hear from all of you guys. And again, I thank you very much for that. All right, so looking into this week and what's happening on the Eddie Trunk podcast, Nickelback, a name that when you say it, inspires either great passion and people very excited and very into the band, or the complete opposite of people very much anti-Nickelback. I have never honestly been in either camp, and honestly, I have never, for the life of me, been able to figure out the level of disdain that is out there for this band. It's never quite made any sense to me, to be honest. I can understand liking the band. I can understand disliking this band or any other band. But Nickelback is one of those bands that is insanely polarizing. There are people that love them and they've sold millions of records and had a ton of hits, needless to say. And then there are people that despise them. And we have all heard the stories about that over the years as well. So a couple months ago, I was asked, maybe less than 2 months ago, if I would like to host what is called a town hall with Nickelback. It's something that SiriusXM does with some artists where they bring in an outside audience and you do a Q&A with the audience and do an interview with the band live on the radio. And I said, sure. I don't know the Nickelback guys at all. I saw them live once, but I figured, yeah, why not? It would be cool to get to know them a little bit, and I have an open mind. And honestly, I'm indifferent about their music. I don't have a feeling one way or the other. But clearly, they've made a massive impact on some people out there because they've sold millions of records and had tons of hits, and they are currently out on a tour where they are playing to people all over the country in amphitheaters right now. So I went into it with the guys, having an open mind. I walked away from it feeling the same way. Very nice guys. We got along fine. They seemed very cool. As you're about to hear, we had a good conversation. And again, I, with any band, I get if you're a fan or if you're not a fan, but I've never been able to figure out the unbelievable polarization on this band. And it is something that I do talk to them about in the interview. And I think Chad Kroger has a great line. He says something like, we are the cilantro of music, meaning that obviously, cilantro, some people really like and some people hate. But listen for yourself and, you know, don't cast out if you are anti-Nickelback for whatever reason. Don't reach any assumptions here until you take the time to listen to the interview. Who knows? Maybe your mind will be changed. I don't know. I'm not out to change anybody's mind. I'm not out to sell the band one way or the other. I'm simply saying, even after coming away from this interview, I still can't figure out what all the polarization is about with this band. But have a listen for yourself. All four members of the band joined me. It was with a studio audience. It was at the SiriusXM headquarters in New York City. It is a Nickelback interview / town hall here on this week's edition of the Eddie Trunk podcast. One other thing, very important, don't forget, I've got my own store now on Amazon. How do you find it? Go to amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. It's that simple. Bookmark it. Check it. Anytime you buy through Amazon, start on that page. Look at the things that I've handpicked to be up on that page. You don't have to buy those, but if you want, they're right there front and center. Some of the things that I kind of thought would be of interest, maybe some of the things I talk about in this podcast, and of course, go on from that page to whatever shopping you may want to do on Amazon. Again, it's amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Up there right now is some cool stuff that I talk about and recommend. The new Alice Cooper record, the new Rex Brown record, Pete Way's new book, Corey Taylor's new book, Winery Dogs with their brand new live DVD CD. That's up there. The new Cheap Trick, my own books are up there. That great book about Van Halen is up there. So check it all out. Amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. My own personal Amazon store. And from that page, you can link to anything on Amazon and continue to buy. But when you go, start with that page, and I would greatly appreciate it, and check out some of the things that I've handpicked to have in my store. Again, one more time, very easy, amazon.com/shop/my name, Eddie Trunk. All right, coming up, it is the Eddie Trunk Podcast with Nickelback. Stick around.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the absolute best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. And then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates to find you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/trunk, T-R-U-N-K. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trunk. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/trunk.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife, Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, we're back. It's Eddie Trunk. Again, this interview happened just before Nickelback's latest album came out. The band, as we speak now, are currently out on tour. This was done at the SiriusXM headquarters in New York City, and it originally aired live on my show on Volume, which you can hear Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on SiriusXM Channel 106, with replays every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. So let's go into the studio at SiriusXM that they call the Fishbowl, and all four members, well, starting out with three, eventually all four members of Nickelback on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. We have Chad here. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Ryan as well. Hey, Ryan.
How's it going?
New album coming out this Friday, Feed the Machine. Congratulations on that. Must be an exciting time every time you give birth to some new Nickelback music.
I'm glad you put it that way.
Is that what it feels like?
The labor pains were intense.
talk about the the way this record was put together and how it was conceived, if you will. Anything different from previous records?
We're on a baby theme here for sure. It came about the same way. We've definitely stumbled onto something that we like doing. We like trying to, especially with the last record, we really learned that We would just rent houses all over the place. We'd rent a house in Maui. We'd rent houses in LA and stuff. And we'd get in there and we would just suck all the creative juice. And as soon as we'd get stuck for a few days, it's like, all right, let's move. Next house. You know, you get to the next house, new setting, and everything was just fresh again. And we'd, you know, the creative ball would start rolling again. And that's a great way to record. And instead of just getting in there and smashing your head against the wall, we would do like 2 weeks on, a week off, 2 weeks on, a week off. And because, you know, the guys have got kids and stuff, and we got three family men in the band. You try to...
Ryan and I were talking about that earlier,
that's
actually.
Right.
Yeah.
We're in the heat of it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to, you know, be a husband and a dad and the guitar player or the drummer or the bass player in the band, whatever it might be. There's a lot of juggling involved in that. And so we all, you know, we make sure that everybody's, you know, comfortable doing whatever. We're at a nice stage in our career where we don't have to kill ourselves to make a record.
What about putting the material together as far as how it came together since the last record? Been a couple years, 2-3 years since the last record. Yeah. How do you guys work as far as writing? Do you guys all get together to do it? Were there some old ideas that you kind of revisited? Is everything fresh? How does it work with Nickelback?
Well, we go through the vault, yeah. You know, and you look back through all this.
Where
stuff.
Where is the vault?
Never mind.
Every band has
Everybody,
the
never
vault.
Mind. Right?
Where
never
is
mind.
The vault?
I'm
is
telling
it in,
you where the vault is?
In Vancouver somewhere, buried in a mountain?
It's not very
just
secure.
Just an N on it, Nickelback.
The vault has been recorded onto several drives and is in multiple places. There literally is one in LA and there's one in Vancouver. They're
really?
They're kind of all over the place.
The
yeah.
Nickelback vault is international.
International.
Well,
vault.
It's... if you lose one of those, you know, and you know, how bad would that be? So you're in the middle of a move. You're like, anybody seen that drive with like the next four albums on it? Anybody
ask Kirk Hammett about that? You heard what happened on the new Metallica record. You didn't get to write it all because he lost. He had all his stuff on his iPhone and he lost it. He couldn't recover it.
You know what? I it's funny enough. Like I had an app on the phone from a few years back, similar thing. I only had like maybe five or six ideas I was laying down. And then that app just would not respond. I'm like, this is an awful idea. This is an awful idea. And so I started duplicating other places. And it's like you have to plan for the worst sometimes.
Offsite backup.
All right.
This is
all
important.
Right. So feed the
if
machine.
If there's anything you take away from this today,
back up your backup. Stuff.
Triple redundancy.
We should mention we have a great audience here, a live audience as well, and we'll be including some questions from them in a second. Feed the Machine, which is the record we're talking about and which comes out on Friday. I just got a copy of the CD, which is still, being an old school guy, my favorite way to take in music. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in looking through the booklet and everything, is there a bit of a concept to the record? It feels like because you have
very,
the instrumental.
Very German of you. Very German of you to ask that.
Well, you've got
the Germans love the concept. So every single time you go to the, you know, you land in Germany and you're doing the press tour, and the first thing, tell us about the concept of the entire album. And you're like, there's no concept. We're not Pink Floyd.
But, yeah, we should mention Mike and Daniel. We welcome them to the conversation as well. They've made it. So we now have all of Nickelback in the house. But I noticed too, because you know what, when I saw, you know what gives it a concept feel when you see the betrayal part two at the end, or act two, which is instrumental, which is another big
act
thing
one.
That ties
act
in
one.
Act one
you,
is
if you look there's no act two, it's act three and act
see,
one
that's important to say though. It's like I see what you say, but it's
also, that's what's
say.
Driving me into a 2112 sort of territory here now.
Also sent the Germans into a tizzy. Where's number two? We cannot find two. So like, yes, it's not in chronological order. That must really twist your melon.
I can see that. Yeah, that's become something. That's very interesting. And there was a reason why we did that in particular. Have a part three. There's a reason why part three is first and part one is after that. I've stopped telling. You know, I started there, I think it was one day I started explaining it, and then I just stopped because I think there's a mystery about it that people wonder where to went. I was like, I'm just going to leave it as it is. Yeah. You guys can figure it out. But it's not a concept album. I can see a few reasons why that. It's a very metal looking cover as well, as far as
and
I'm
the
concerned.
Video for the song Feed the Machine is really cool and really sort of, you know,
dystopian.
No, I think the song lends itself for sure to it being, feels like it can be very thematic for the album, and we have a couple of songs that are kind of talk about that, you know, the scenario of doing, you know, Feed the Machine is not feeding the machine. It's about, you know, think for yourself. The whole "believe me" mantra, I can't deal with that anymore. It's whether it's religion or politics, There's a song called Silent Majority that kind of lends itself to the similar kind of vibe about, you know, finally say something. I find that there's a large swath of intelligent people that just they just think something is this is insane, this is crazy, whatever it is that you're speaking of. It is about a broad sense of multiple topics, but there's a lot of people that say this is crazy and they don't say anything. They just kind of like they keep quiet, and then the vocal minority seems to be very loud, especially online, about what have you. And so you think it's a certain topic is felt, it's kind of reflected a certain way when maybe it's not. Mm. I mean, maybe it's just a real vocal minority talking about that. So I don't think the whole album goes concept wise, but there's a few things in there for sure that could be, you know, thought of that way.
Mike and Daniel are just jumping in here like, what the hell are you guys talking about? We made a concept record? We didn't even know.
I'm like, man, we're not that serious.
used to that topic. We've been through that topic a little bit.
Have you? As it's come up before.
Yeah, like you said, the Germans, every interview asked.
What's with the Germans and concept records?
They like concept records. They love them.
They love it.
They can't get enough concept records.
Would you like to do a concept record at some point?
We may have to now.
Just to be released in Germany, maybe.
Do you have a double gatefold wall in you at some point? The wall?
I don't know.
There might be something. You never know.
I would be... My ADD would just kick in way too hard. And I'd be like, I like, you know, thematic diversity. I want things to all have a different... sort of flavor to them and you know, speak about different things. Because there's always room for, you know, being in love, having your heart broken, being pissed off, wanting to go out on the town, blow off some steam, whatever it might be. Like, you just anything that you're feeling that day, write a song, you know. Mm-hmm. Just giving somebody the same sort of continuation. I don't know if I have the attention span to sit there and be like, okay, now where are we in this movie? Are we, you know, is there a love story coming in here? Is there going to be, what's our climax going to be? Have we done enough character development? I don't know if that's me.
Well, I think judging by the track record of Nickelback and the track record of the last 15 years or so, you've figured it out just fine in terms of success. I was reading something, and I don't know, because I admit I took this from Wikipedia, which we always know is never always accurate. But
what are you talking about?
But tell me
how
if this
dare
is
you
true.
Contradict Wikipedia.
Tell me if this is true, because this is an amazing statistic. If this is true, that you guys are the second best selling, being a Canadian band for America, the second best international selling band of the 2000s. Next to the Beatles. Have you heard that? Do you know if there's anything validity to that?
They keep telling us that.
They keep saying this in interviews. It's something
sounds pretty true, I guess.
Well, there's a couple things amazing about that you, no offense, that you guys are that band, because that's an amazing statistic.
If you're not if you're not first, you're last.
But
we came in number two.
Chad's like, I'm going back and writing right now, and I'm going to kick the Beatles'
those
ass.
Beatles.
But think about that the Beatles in the 2000s were still the band to beat.
That's the thing. It's kind of like
that's great.
It's strange that that's still happening, and amazing that's still happening. So I don't know. There's some truthiness to it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty – but here's the other thing. That ties into that statistic as well. I was thinking about this as well. You guys are probably like the last band to have been able to get a bite out of what was the old model of the record business, where people went and waited in line to buy records. And again, I just mentioned before, I'm holding your CD. I'm a CD guy. This is still the way I like to get music. But, you know, I'm 52 years old, but this is still what I love. But, you know, I was walking in today in Times Square, and there's a billboard up for the new Katy Perry record, and all it says is, just stream it on Spotify. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I grew up working in a record store. Like, how about actually going and buying it?
Yeah.
You guys actually were you came in and broke through in such a big way at a time where you were still able to actually get people buying your music and physically going out there and celebrating it and getting it. That's got to be a pretty cool thing to know, because
it's like the earth was being consumed by a volcano and an earthquake, and there was a helicopter leaving, and we are the last guys on it.
Essentially.
Because I don't know of a band that had the level of success and sales in rock And that stat, if it is accurate about the Beatles thing, would lend itself to that. That you, I'm sure it wasn't by design when you started putting Nickel back together to say, well, we're going to be the last one before the business craters, but you may be.
You know, that's just lucky timing. That's all that is. You know, we're thankful for that. It's funny that you bring up the whole thing about physical copies, because the Japanese fans love physical copies.
Yeah.
And you'd think that, you know, coming from such a technology-based culture, that they would want to download everything.
Yes.
And everything would be on their phones, and not the case at all. They want to hold a physical copy. They want to look through. They want to go through the lyrics, and they want the artwork, and they want all. They love that. And
I should move to Japan. It sounds like
I miss that. You know, I think when someone's got a cool old vinyl collection, pretty soon it's gonna be like, come and look at all my CDs.
Yeah,
I have a lot of them.
But it's a strange time to this trend. This transition felt quick. Because I agree with you, it's a strange time for us to kind of get in the business and then transition to completely digital. I talked to some, you know, my son and his friends and stuff, like, how do you guys listen to music? What radio do you listen to? And they're like, radio. We listen to our phones. We listen to this. We listen to the downloads, playlists.
Except
like,
for SiriusXM.
I'm just going to say.
They all realize we're doing an interview right now.
You do understand the Sirius on your phone as well, right? You can listen to it on your phone as well.
They listen to the app, I'm sure,
of course they do.
Of course,
solidly.
Ryan, yes.
But it is in the same breath, though. Like, yeah, you know, vinyl is making a comeback to a certain degree. But
eight tracks, bro.
It's strange. The kids that don't have any
people are buying eight tracks and cassettes, Chad.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I like it.
But they didn't grow up holding something to listen to other than an iPod or MP3 player. So the fact it's becoming a bit of a novelty. Like the fact that my kids know how to use a record player I think their friends find is like blows their mind.
Yeah.
And they like that, though. They kind of like the. So maybe, who knows where it's going to transition from this place?
Yeah, no, I think as long as people, I like, whether it's vinyl, whether it's CD, whatever, when they physically buy something, I think you have more of a bond and a connection to it. I grew up working in a record store. It's interesting what you said about Japan, because there was that documentary on Tower Records that came out. I don't know how many people saw it. Tom Hanks' son did it.
Yeah.
And they said the one place Tower Records is still thriving and where CDs are still really active is in Japan. And I agree with what you said, Chad. You would think that would be like, you know, the opposite because they're so ahead. But speaking of formats, did I read where some of the early Nickelback albums are coming out on vinyl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a re-release of some of the stuff on vinyl. I remember trying to get our records on vinyl a few years back, and it was very difficult.
Because of the timing, you would have never have existed on vinyl.
No,
yeah.
No, not at all. We did have, I think our second release was on cassette, so they probably could have had vinyl, but they didn't release it. But yeah, nothing was really on vinyl, and the fact they're doing it again, I think it's great. We just finished designing the vinyl for Feed Machine, and I'm like, I remember I have the 45 of Number of the Beast. I have an old jukebox at home. I've got a bunch of old stuff, and it was red with green in center and red, and I'm just like, I want like red vinyl. I think that's going to be awesome. So we're going to try to make a cool.
So this
vinyl
one, is actually going to be red.
So
it's going to be red vinyl. Feed the machine.
Yeah, they could be kind of neat.
And what are the other titles that are coming on vinyl? Because I saw that.
Well, I don't know where they get them, but every time I walk out of a hotel, there's three or four people are holding our records on vinyl. I'm like, I don't have that. Where do you know? And they're just all eBayers, and they're just like, can you sign this one? And can you sign this one? And can you sign this one? And I'm just like, where do you guys get this shit? Like, I don't possess that. I want that.
Right.
And you're like, you just got to track them down.
Right. So one other thing on Feed the Machine before we get into some audience questions and move on to some other things. Also, going through the booklet, I was unaware of this until I just got the CD. You have Nuno Bettencourt on here playing guitar solo.
Yeah.
Nuno's a friend and an amazing player. How did that come about?
Shredder.
Yeah.
Just texted him. I was like, dude, do you want to play a guitar solo on this record of ours? And he's like, I'm leaving for the airport in 2 hours. And then I just texted back, okay.
Meaning to come to you to record it, or
I was just going to send it, just fire it over. He's like, busy. I got to go. I've got to, like, he was in out, like, we were all in LA. And he was jumping on a plane to take off. And he said he only had about 2 hours. And then I was like, okay. And then he texted me back like 2 minutes later, send it over. I'll see what I can do. And I'm like, yes.
Killed it.
So he fired it over to him. And he's like, here you go. Here's a guitar solo. Here's an outro solo. Here's all this stuff. And it was like, I just incredible. Like, he is so talented.
He didn't hear the song either, I don't think. Like, he really, he
there was no vocals.
He just, no vocals, so he just kind of was,
I just
context
gave,
was different.
I gave him, this is what we're playing under the solo section. Here you go. Here's the outro. And he just fired over this, you know, he sent it back to me, and it was perfect. I'm like, you talented bastard.
He probably had to pay some airline change fees on that one.
Yeah. He missed his flight.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't invoice us for that.
So you guys just fan of Extreme or Nunes, and you figured it would be a cool thing to do.
Yeah,
he'd,
I mean,
he'd fit on that song. What's the song he's on?
He's on a song called "For the River."
Okay,
and it had this little. There's this little riff inside, like just one part of this one riff, and every time I would play it, I was like, it's got a Nuno thing to it. You know, from that one record they had called Three Sides to Every Story. Yep. I mean, there was a lot of them just, you know, just going off in these bridges where it's just like the band just takes off.
They're really good.
He sends it back. He sends it back over and he goes, great groove. This is my shit. I was like, good. Okay, so I'm glad that, you know, I wasn't out to lunch when I was thinking it would be, you know, that it would be a nice fit.
Right.
And it did fit really, really well. He just nailed it.
Right. Well, the new album, Feed the Machine, comes out on Friday, everybody, from Nickelback, so be sure to check that out. Tour coming up as well. I know you're kicking off in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and you go out there for a while, ending at home, right?
Yeah.
And in Vancouver area?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And talk about the tour a little bit, what you got planned and who the opening acts are.
44 shows. First show is on June 23rd. We're bringing out our buddy Daughtry again. He's going to mm-hmm. come with us. And then we've got Cheap Trick's going to play some shows with us in Canada.
Nice. Yeah.
And we thought that would be really cool.
I'm very really excited for that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That stuff I used to play when I was starting to play, so that's... I'm pretty jazzed about having these guys.
Yeah,
come
great
together.
Bunch of guys.
Also,
yeah.
a group, Shaman's Harvest.
Shaman's Harvest
yes.
as well.
Shaman's
they'll be
Harvest.
They'll be
that's
on the
right.
front in front of Daughtry.
So, it's a three bill,
yes.
three band bill.
Yeah, yep.
And then Cheap Trick comes in at some points.
Yep.
And
the Canadian dates at the end. Yeah, they're yep. coming out.
That's very, very cool. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We've got all the guys from Nickelback here. Again, the album that we're talking about is out everywhere in whatever configuration you'd like to purchase it in, as long as you purchase it this coming Friday. And we'll get some of you guys and the questions from our audience as well, and more from me coming up as well. So coming right back, more with Nickelback.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
TrueCar. Something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. What is it? Using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. If you're looking to buy new or used, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. We're talking about over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. You'll see what other people paid for the car you want so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the new or used car you want. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, let's get some of these people involved in the conversation, because that's what this whole town hall is all about. We're looking for Catherine Casario as our first question. Hi, Catherine. Your chance to
Hello.
Fire away to Nickelback.
I knew it would be you.
Are there any songs that remained unfinished because you were apprehensive of how they will be accepted when listened to by fans and media because it is too personal?
Interesting.
We're apprehensive about releasing any of our material because we're worried about how it's going to be received. No. In fact, there's a song on this record. It's called Home, and it does not cast me in a very flattering light. And I'm talking about the fact that, you know, I was in a relationship for about 8 years. I could never get her to share in any aspect of my life. And she was just staying home all the time, and you know, we're blowing up and we're traveling around the world, and I could never get her to come out on the road with me and share in the experience with me, and I wound up being unfaithful to her because of that. You know, it's like, if you're never going to be here, I'm gonna be with somebody. So if it's not gonna be you, it's just gonna simply be somebody else. And the song's called Home, and it does not cast me in a flattering light, but it's good. And it's, you know, it's honest, and it just, you know, kind of cuts to the bone. And that was one of those. I played it for my aunt, and I looked over and I said, doesn't make your nephew look too good, does it? She goes, no, but it's good. I'm like, okay, well, as long as you think it's, you know, and I have no problem. You know, it's just something that I wanted to sing about, and it felt great getting it off my chest. And that's one of the things. It's just out there. So no, we never really worry about how anything's going to be perceived. It's always just, is it good enough? You know, is it something that that is so strong and stands alone, stands the test of time, and something that we're going to be proud of. The only reason something wouldn't make it on a record is if we sat there and listened to it and was just like, that's just not good enough.
Yeah. I think the stuff that's honest too, that comes across honest, like, I've always said, like, too bad, from way back. I'm like, I think people connect with stories that they know it comes from a real place. And that's why, I mean, stories that aren't necessarily flattering, but this is real, I think people can tell.
Speaking of the way things are perceived, there's something I've
got. Things got dark. Yeah, well, things really got dark for a second.
Jeez, thanks, Kat.
Buzzkill.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, something the first time I found out I was going to be talking to you guys, this is something I really wanted to ask you, because honestly, it's boggled my mind for a while, and it probably does to you guys to some extent as well. And that is the unbelievable love-hate relationship people have with your band.
I don't want to be in a relationship.
Ship. Yeah. Sounds like you had something. Sounds like that song was about that.
That's also dark. That's dark.
Different show.
Very dark.
Different show.
But can you guys give me your take on that, and why, as you are, I'm sure, well aware, you have sold millions of records. You're going to go out on a tour and have tons of fans come and love Nickelback. But then there's this other segment of people that, you know, it's a love-hate thing with your band. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? Why do you think that exists? And does it bother you?
We are the cilantro of music.
Yep. Some people, yeah. Well said. We taste like well soap said. To some people. Yeah.
Some people just can't get enough of it, and some people would die not to have ingested it. I mean, it's just one of those things. We don't take ourselves that seriously. I mean, you can tell just sitting in the room with us, we're four clowns. We're just always goofing off and picking on each other and being silly. I think a lot of people just think that we take ourselves seriously, and a lot of people just take us too seriously for whatever reason. And they just want to be, you know, just do all that, just get on the internet. And the way I always kind of look at it is, if there's a band I don't like, I wouldn't sit through 30 seconds of one of their videos. Right. They sit through the whole thing, watch it, and then comment, and then get into fights on YouTube about why. Like, I can't imagine going to someone's video on YouTube that I didn't like and watching it. That sounds like that would just be hell for me. Like, I don't like this band. I don't like this music. I don't want to watch this. But these people take the time. And you know what I honestly believe? I think they like us.
Well, there is that thing. Sure. We get that. If you've been doing radio or anything as long as I have, there is that thing where you have people, the people that hate me the most, who I've never even met, they happen to know every single word I've ever said in 34 years on the radio. Yeah. So there
you,
is that.
They don't hate you. They just type. They don't hate you.
Yeah. My perspective on the whole thing, I'll try to sew it up as quickly as I can, but there was a bit of a perfect storm, I think, going on, where we were getting played on rock radio. We were getting played on pop stations for some of the lighter songs. So when you switch the radio station, you couldn't get away from it. I understand when your songs kind of become ubiquitous, you start to hate that, and you start to kind of resent that, and I get that.
Backlash.
Absolutely. But sure. And then pair that with social media, internet started to really explode at that point, and so people could share their innermost thoughts. When it was back in Circus magazine and these old rock magazines, you would have to furiously write a letter and send it into them, the editorial page, so it could get larger quicker, I think, in that sense. And add on to that, what's human nature? People like to bond through what they hate. Have you seen the gas prices, geez? Oh my God, this is ridiculous. And like, I get that. That's human nature, and I totally get that. So I think that all being put in a pot together and stirred around, just kind of the tail starts wagging the dog to a degree. I think there's genuine people that just are tired of it, don't like it. Some people like it. But then it just becomes a thing on its own, and people don't know why they don't like
something. Yeah, they don't know why they... Charlie Benente.
You can't really put your finger on it.
Charlie from Anthrax.
From Anthrax, yeah. He came, great guy, love his drumming. Came to the show, and afterwards he's like, you know, when I showed up, I was supposed to not like you. Like, and I thought about it. He watched the whole set. He goes, you guys play your ass off. I love these songs. And he kind of scratched his head and went, I don't know why. I just thought I was supposed to not like you. And I think it's almost becoming built in a little bit to people. It's like a herd mentality.
Yeah.
They're all running.
I don't mind being someone's guilty pleasure as long as I'm their pleasure. You know, I think that when people have our songs cranked up and they're singing along and then all of a sudden they roll down the window for whatever reason, it's just like, I don't want anyone to know that I was just singing my ass off to Nickelback.
See,
like,
I don't care
because you're still singing.
I always hated that mentality, and I know that exists, but I hate, because I was made fun of for the music I liked in high school, and I was defiant about it. I couldn't care less. I was just like, to this day, if somebody tells me something I'm supposed to like or not like because it's the popular thing, there's nothing that gets my back up more than that, because I don't believe in guilty pleasures. If you like it, that's all that should matter.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the most important thing, but... it's just a strange thing, because even leading up to this interview, and I was teasing it on my show, I said to people, I said, you know, Nickelback's coming in, and one called me, great, can't wait for that. No, you're going to have those guys. And I was just like, where does this thing come from? And I said one guy who was anti, what's the problem? If you don't like them, just don't listen. He goes, I said, what is at the core of the problem? He goes, they get played on the radio all the time. Isn't that the objective of most bands that make music? But Eddie, people here, you're guilting them for their success.
Don't you see
bizarre.
Lunacy? Don't you see the lunacy in this? Because if the person doesn't want to listen to the radio and hear us, what are they doing listening to the radio?
Right.
Like, if you don't want to listen to that radio crap all the time, Nickelback's, they're only on the radio. It's like, well, you're listening to the radio.
Yeah.
That's where you're hearing it.
Yeah, right? All right.
Why can we complain about this?
Nobody gets more radio play than Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber or anything. I mean, they're on every 15 minutes. At the
but you shouldn't have
success.
To apologize
no,
for success.
No, but at
no.
the
it's
height of
ludicrous.
Our, I mean, we were never played that much. I mean, now it's like, I don't even, I used to think back to how many times we get played, like how many spins we might get on some radio station. Be like, yeah, we got daytime play in this city. We can go there and we can play for people now. I'd be like, yeah, that's great. They play like some of the core artists now every 15 minutes. I'm like, And they still don't get that backlash.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's still, I think it's just every once in a while, unfortunately, time has shown we have those bands that are so big that people, it becomes a thing, as you know, various stories that have come out, but people, it's a thing to bash. Mm-hmm. But when you go out and you're about to do and go to play to 15, 20,000 people singing all your songs every night, I'm sure you can rest easy every night.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say.
Those people are in the audience, man.
When we show up, when we show up to a show, everybody's there to have a good time. Everybody's there to sing along. You know, they all want to get there with their buddies and grab a beer and just, you know, just sing as loud as they can. We love getting the big sing-alongs going in the audience. Like, just getting everybody singing along it just turns into a big party. And I love that. You know, that's why I'm looking over at Ryan or Mike, and I'm just like, this is our job. We would do this for free.
The opinions of Chad Krueger are not necessarily the opinions of the rest of the band.
Right.
So,
you know,
listen to him.
It's a great job.
One last
job.
Quick thing from me, because I know we got to go back to audience questions, but were you ever in a situation, whether it be in a live show or a meet and greet or anything, where one of these haters actually was there? Like, were you ever at a show where you got 14,999 people with their fist there and that one guy, fuck you, man? Because I've seen that before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we get at festivals. You know, if you go to a festival and you're the that band that that person doesn't want to see, but that happens to everybody. That doesn't just happen to us. Yeah. I mean, that's been going on since the dawn of live music, you know. So there's
minstrels
there's
playing there, and there's one guy just like,
and the man with the middle finger.
Please have him removed. Have him removed.
Where's Mike Iannone, if I'm saying your name right? There you are, Mike. Go ahead. He's got a question for Nickelback.
What band made you want to play music?
What band made us want to play music? Daniel?
Mine was Rush.
I was just going to say.
For sure. Yeah.
Typical Canadian.
Yeah.
Very.
And there's a polarizing band, right? Love or hate.
Yeah.
It was Rush for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And people like, you know, I hate Geddy's voice. I was like, Geddy's voice is awesome. You know, it's like, definitely.
Mm. For a drummist, it's kind of a natural choice.
A drummist.
Yeah.
Mike, what band made you want to
probably
play?
Probably Slayer Metallica combo hybrid thing.
Okay.
So that's why we sound like this.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. To play music, probably my dad. Who played a lot of music, but the reason I play guitar would be Megadeth, Metallica.
Chad?
Savage Garden. Probably Savage Garden. No.
Surprise. Didn't see that one coming, hey? Interview.
Yeah. Nelson. I'm going to go with, Metallica was a big one. When I was 13, Metallica was the biggest band in the world. And there was two bands. Any party, anywhere in town, you would either hear Appetite for Destruction or you'd hear Metallica. And it was just, and nothing else.
Or the cult.
Maybe the Cult a little bit. The Cult was a great band. I mean,
we used to play the whole album.
Yeah.
Electric. Mm-hmm. That was big. Band.
Yeah.
And I don't want to star anything with Daniel on the end being such a big Rush fan, but I don't know if you heard, but Neil doesn't want to tour anymore. So the gig might be open. Just saying, you know,
you should check that out.
Shut up. Talk to you later. Not going anywhere.
That could be a good move for you.
No. Agree with your brother.
Mike's pushing him into it.
Well, I'm just saying,
Daniel could sit in. Daniel could sit in on any song right now, cold, and nail any Rush song, start
Ooh,
to finish. No problem.
Wow.
Yes. His drum kit's too small, though.
But you're still not going anywhere.
I'm happy to see.
No, you could rock a little YYZ or something.
Love YYZ.
You do YYZ? No problem. All right.
La Vila.
Wow. He goes deep.
He plays a band called Martone from Vancouver, and they're like very prog rock band, weird cool. time signatures. He's very used to that. Yeah.
All right.
He gets paid by the note in that band.
Yes.
Where's Thomas Gorham? Hey, Thomas, you're up next.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, man.
Guys, of all the songs in your catalog, which is the one that you're most proud of writing, whether it achieved any radio play or not?
Most proud of? I always go back to the, have you got kids? Yeah. Which one's your favorite? Okay,
well, there you go.
I hope it's that one. I got one kid, but my neighbor's kid's awesome. it's really tough. I think that a lot of people would probably think that we would say How You Remind Me. And it's hard not to pay homage to that song because it was our first really big handshake to the entire world. Photograph was, that's a special one, you know, just because it rings so true, you know, and then to go back and shoot a video in our hometown, that one gets me.
Yeah, I it's funny. I was going to say the same thing because, I mean, I love the rock stuff. Like, that's where I like to play, that sandbox. But just for that reason, too, there's a special combination for us. It's, you can just, the song describes a lot of, you know, the whole you can't always go home memories kind of thing. And for us, the song is about our hometown. We shot the video back in our hometown. And it was the last time that even my everybody came out to our farm in outside of Hannah, and we had a great time shooting the video, and it was done. Even my parents were moving away. So that was kind of my last touch to that town. So it's a pretty special song for me, too. So
yeah.
You guys missed the hint. You missed the hint.
I missed it.
Feed the Machine is by far because,
how to sell a record down there.
The latest one.
That's out Friday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right. Is it? Huh.
That one's about our hometown as well.
I'm digging that one quite a bit. Yeah, we know
now
Hannah,
it's just a big machine.
Also known as the machine.
The machine.
Yes, Hannah.
Daniel, anything you want to add?
For me, it was Side of a Bullet. I was a huge, huge Pantera fan, and Vinny was going to play on that song.
Oh.
And we sent it down to him. He's like, you did a great job, you know, just happy you guys did it. And the fact that Dimebag is doing the solo, because we got all the hard drives with all his him noodling in the studio, constructed his whole guitar solo in that section. It's pretty special for me. Mm. Super heavy.
What song became a hit for you guys that you never saw coming? Like, is there a song that was became this signature Nickelback hit that you didn't really see or feel that shocked you?
I always knew that it would be well received, but I don't think any of us knew the size of like Rockstar.
Yeah,
that one just took off, and that one really took a life of its own. I mean, we were in the studio with Mutt Lange making Dark Horse when that song exploded in London, and because they didn't jump on any of the singles for all the right reasons.
It was the
not
last
one,
one
single. So all the way to Rockstar, then they finally get on board with that one, and it was so big, they stopped us from recording, and they booked an entire tour just of the UK for us to go over and do the entire UK, and the whole thing was sold out just on that one song, because we went from How You Remind Me to the next record, which was called Long Road, and things started to slide a little bit for us. Like I think that the fan base was slipping for us, and instead of doing Wembley, suddenly we were doing two nights at Brixton Academy, which is a 4,000 seater. So, and then all of a sudden, Rockstar comes out, and boom, we're going back to Wembley, boys. And so it's left the everyone just hit pause. Off we go to UK, and suddenly that song it really did take on a life of its own, and everyone just really loved the video and the fact that there's just so many stars in it, and then just so many just random people singing from around the world. It just worked out really well.
The fact that we were in it for about 2 seconds.
Love that part.
That was the best part of it. So.
It's a trend on the new record, too.
Yeah,
you're not in those videos either.
Yeah.
The new record is Feed the Machine from Nickelback. It's out everywhere on Friday. It's Eddie Trunk. We do have to take a break.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, you guys, A&E's Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, returns for season 2 on August 15th with 10 all-new episodes. This show was riveting and revealing. I watched all of the first season, and a second season is coming, as I mentioned, August 15th on A&E. Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, follows Leah Remini along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members as they delve deep into shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who have left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. This season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the Church of Scientology. The series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practice. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Remini is helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, revealing truths, and seeking justice. She is relentless. Watch the first season of Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, online, on demand, and on the A&E app. And again, the new season, starting season 2, August 15th, with 10 all-new episodes on A&E, Leah Remini, Scientology, and the Aftermath.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, let's get right back into the audience questions, because we have some people who've been waiting here, and we want to make sure they get to ask their question to the guys in Nickelback. Again, their new album, Feed the Machine, is out everywhere this Friday. We're looking for Chris. Is it Tracy? Tracy? There you go. Hey, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, good.
Great. With 9 albums now, how do you approach making a set list for this tour? Does the set list change from night to night?
It does. That's a great question, because There's just we couldn't play now. If we tried to play every single that we have in one show, I would probably be dead. I don't know. I mean, we've got like 36 singles or some damn thing. And
there's why people hate you. Yeah. You just answered it. There you go. You son of a bitch with all that success.
You can't get away from
damn it.
You can't get away from it.
God.
Yeah.
How dare you sell records?
It's a wonderful problem to have when you're in the band. Yeah, it's tough, you know, and the thing that we really started doing with this last European run that we just did, was just calling audibles, you know, especially after I've had a few too many Jaeger bombs. It's like, I'll start, you know, you guys remember how to play this? And Daniel's like, no.
Okay, let me go. 2, 3,
four. Don't start that song. Please don't start that song. I'm like, we're doing it. The train has left the station. And, you know, just off we go. Like, I'll just call it some stupid stuff. And we'll you know, we try and make it different every night. And we found that, like, when we just start doing the same set, and then as soon as you play, you know, three shows in a row, everyone's like, okay, those are the songs they're playing. Now that I know that those are the ones they're playing, they're like, I saw those ones on the last tour. I'm good. But when you start chucking in audibles and you start, like, going back to some random stuff, now the fans are like, you just never know what we're going to play. So now it's a surprise for them. And you know, they're not sitting there going, and now we know what's coming next. And I know what's after that one.
It's good for us, though, to mix it up like this. Put the guitar techs, the lighting guy. Okay, I've got this all figured out. We throw them a curve, but we have a lot of different tunings for guitars. So when they have this tuning guitar ready and that we call something different, they're like, oh, shit.
Panic.
And they run. Yeah, you got to go find the right guitar. It's not like, if everything was in E, it'd be so much easier to do that. But it's not. So yeah. We do a lot of different stuff.
It's like the shit with like eight eyes in it. Oh, shit. Yeah,
you just hear them running hear back. Because they'll have the guitar time. Ready. And then you just hear like, no. And they just.
Where's Netta Christensen? Hey, Netta.
Are there any songs that you wrote that didn't make this record? And if so, will they be released?
We wrote one. There was one ballad we were working on, and it just didn't feel like it fit with the rest of the songs on the record. And so we just we held on to it, you know, and I would love to see that song on the next record. It'd be great if that one got to see the light of day. Yeah, once again, it didn't fit with everything else that was going on with this. It would have stuck out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. So we just held on to it, and it's in the vault.
Which one, the U.S. or the Canadian one?
Buried in his backyard.
We're looking for Michael Riley next. Hey, Michael.
Hi, thanks. Do you miss playing small clubs, and would you ever do a small club tour?
Small clubs.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah, I do sometimes. I think, you know, when you start out, you want to, you know, you play to everybody you can, and playing the big venues is kind of the goal, to get as many people as you can to play to. But I like watching bands in smaller venues sometimes. So some of those gigs are fun. Like, they're still kind of fun when we go back. We just played one in New York 2 or 3 weeks ago with Live Nation, just for fun. I think it was with Foreigner and...
Live
the Roots. It was an interesting.
Was it Irving Plaza?
Live Nation Day.
Concert Day. I mean, it's kind of fun, and we, you know, that's something we could definitely at some point look into. You'd have to do it right, I think. But we're pretty used to throw and go, rock and roll. Just throw your amps up, crank them up, and go.
See, we spent years playing to no one but bar staff, and my whole life I was like, I just want to. In an arena, I want to be screaming to thousands and thousands of people. Like, you know, when you've spent so long trying to climb out of that trench, when you get out of it, for me, I'm like, I don't want to go back in there. You know how hard, you know, a mile of shit we crawled through to get here. I don't want to go back through that pipe.
You don't miss that alcohol silk carpet everywhere.
It's great.
Everywhere.
And the dented 58 microphone that's been spit into by like every singer in the world, and it's rusted from all the spit that's just been on it. I love banging my mouth into that for 2 hours.
But now the difference would be if you went back to a club, you could probably have the right microphone and bring your own.
Yeah.
And know that you could go back the next day to the arena.
Now,
so
selfishly, I love watching big bands in a small club. Right. I just don't want to go back and do it.
Let's get one final question in here before we have to wrap up. We're looking for Salvatore Palermo. Salvatore.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing? Thanks.
Technology is used a lot in concerts these days. What can you tell us about the stage show for this tour?
Oh,
it's all played by robots.
Yeah. Yep. Holograms.
That is a thing now, holograms.
Yeah.
Tupac plays bass for me.
I know.
Every night.
That's going to be excellent.
Virtual Chad Kroger.
We have a stage designer. So now if you hold up that record and you see those cables, those red cables going into that to the back of the person who's addressing that entire crowd, our stage is being designed right now as we speak. And
it'll too much away.
And that's all you get.
Good one.
And, well,
we have something.
Trying to answer the damn question
here. I'd like to leave some to the imagination.
Sure.
I'm sure after the first show, it'll be everywhere anyways.
Yeah. So we're definitely going in, and the tour is called the Feed the Machine Tour. So we're definitely riding that theme all the way.
And it's free beer every night.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't say that.
Every show.
Well, you guys, I mean, I imagine that coming up, one of the things you dreamed about was also having the ability to do stuff like this, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the things Nickelback is also been known for is the show. You've got pyro and you got stuff going on. So that's got to be one of the big perks of being able to have the success that you guys have had, to be able to put some of that back into a stage show and bring some of those things that's in your mind to life has got to be awesome.
Yeah. When we, after How Your Mommy came out, and it just, it really did. It was so big for us. And they told us, your whole tour, your whole world tour is sold out. You guys can do anything you want. And we looked at each other like, anything? And they're like, yeah, you guys can do anything you want. Tickets are sold, dude. And we're like, I want 40-foot flames all over the place. I want explosions. I want it to look, I want shock and awe. Shock and awe. And I'm just like, I want shit going. I just want smoke and explosions. It's just like, it's got to look like a scene out of Full Metal Jacket. Like, just insanity. And when we put that into the show, and the people would come out and see us, and you can see the looks on these people's faces. You're just scaring the shit out of them. And, it's like, it's so much for one human to just take in. I'm like, once we did that, and we put so much back into the show, one of my favorite comments that somebody wrote somewhere was, I'm not even a fan of their music, and I got free tickets from my cousin to go and see them play, and I will never miss another Nickelback show as long as I live. And I was like, now that is an honest compliment, and that's, it makes us feel really good about our live show and how much we do care about entertaining people. Because when somebody shows up and there's nothing on the stage and there's like one spotlight and they just get up there and they're playing for you and it's like, it's all about the music. It's like, yeah, no, it's all about you putting all the money in your pocket, not giving anything back to the fans. That's the actual truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of bands that do that. And then the bands that put that money into the show and really give you that extra mile. And I know as a guy who grew up a huge fan of stuff like that and big shows and grew up a big Kiss fan and stuff, that's the extra icing on the cake.
When you go see Iron Maiden and Eddie's 40 feet tall and he comes out of the, you're like, this is amazing. That, like, when bands put that effort back in there, you create a fan for life.
Yeah.
And that's,
you also paint yourself into a corner a little bit, because
you kind of do.
Where do we go from here?
You kind of
do. Does Chad blow himself up on stage? And
I'm like,
we pulled the pyro from like a while back, just to, because it's like, you don't want to be defined by that. I want to be able to do that. Right. I love doing that. It's great. But you don't want to paint yourself into a corner. So I think we've been pretty careful about that.
One tour, I was like, I want a stage to come down just about that big, exactly that big. I want to come down out of the ceiling with a drum kit on it and pick us up on the stage and then lift us off and fly us. And then halfway across the arena, I want to start
Daniel
to spin.
Shaking his head down there. Like,
I want to spin. And then I want it to take us the rest of the way across the arena and land at the front of house. And then we'll play three acoustic songs, then lift us back up, and then we're going to rock all the way back across the arena.
I felt like it was a big cookie cutter, literally. And I was actually quite nervous. I'm like,
plexiglass,
I don't want
floor.
This to fall.
All right, they're giving me the sign. Yeah, I got to kill it. Thank you guys so much for the time. Well, thanks to the guys in Nickelback for joining me on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. If you are a major fan, hope you enjoyed it.
If you are somebody that is not a fan, well, maybe at least enjoyed the conversation and hearing from the guys, and who knows, maybe it turned you around a little bit. And if you're still not a fan, that's okay too. Thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Remember, it's new every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. It is produced by Katie Irizarry. And be sure to follow me on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the website. And don't forget my Amazon store. Visit it at amazon.com/shop/EddieTrunk. Things handpicked by me to be in the store. Check it out. See what I have each and every week, as the titles often change. And from there, you can jump into some other things as well. All right. Have a good week, everybody. See you next Thursday for another all new episode. Thanks for listening.
HBO's Game of Thrones is back for its seventh season. Winter is finally here, and so are the White Walkers. Will the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros survive the threat from the North, or will they fall in the looming war for the Iron Throne? After you're done watching an episode, join the discussion here on the Game of Thrones After Show on Podcast One. Every week, our hosts discuss each episode in detail, from shocking twists to fan theories, as the series chronicles the violent struggle among the realm's noble families for ultimate power. Join the fray every week on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.